Places there. Amen. How many of you glad we got God's word to stand on?
Amen.
Amen. I know I am. Sometimes I don't do the best job in the world of obeying all of it, but I'm going to make every effort to every day of my life. Amen.
Amen.
We all are going to fall short of the glory of God sometimes, but we serve a forgiving God. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the great thing about it. We do serve a forgiving God who loves us. And you know, if we're a born-again believer in Jesus, His grace has covered our sins, our past, present, and even future sin. So I'm happy to know that and hear that. I want to, if there's any of you out there that did not get a copy of the sermon notes, if you'd like one, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll be glad to come around and give you one. They're in the bulletin. If you want to take those out, if you like taking notes, I want to encourage you to get those out and feel free to take those down. Also, anytime you might miss a service, we're filing these notes if you want to get them. If you want to go back and listen to the sermon on our website at BethesdaOne.org, you're welcome to do that as well. But we're just glad to have you in God's house today.
Amen.
We're going to talk about something today. This sermon's entitled, There's No Giant Too Large. No giant too large. And although I'm going to talk a little bit about David and Goliath today, that's not what my focus is on. It's not all about the story of David and Goliath, but it's about people who are facing giants in their lives. Those things, those obstacles that seem sometimes overwhelming, like we can't get past them. They're creating a barrier and a barricade in our lives. Well, guys, I'm here to tell you, we serve an awesome God. Amen. We serve a God who can help us get over those obstacles. And I want to talk to you about that today. And I want to hopefully give you a little bit of insight on that today. I'm going to ask everybody in here to do something right now. And it's not going to embarrass you or anything else. I'm going to ask everybody in here right now. We're going to be talking about the topic of giants in our lives. Now, guys, when I say giants, that could be anything. That could be a relationship that's messed up. That could be a job that you're having a problem with. That could be a something going on in your home that is an obstacle to you. That could be an addiction that you're trying to overcome. That could be a death that's occurred in your family that just you can't seem to get past it and get over it. That could also be that could be a lot of other things in your life as well. Anything that seems insurmountable to you, I would consider that a giant in your life. I want us to take just a minute, and I'm going to ask everybody in here, if you will, to just close your eyes for a minute. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute, and I want you to think about one giant that you have in your life right now, something that you just can't seem to overcome. I want you to think about that for just a minute. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to think about these questions as you think about that giant in your life. The first thing I want to ask you is this, and I'm not asking you to raise your hands or anything. I'm just asking you to think about it. Does your giant scare you? Does your giant scare you? Are you afraid to go out and meet that giant in your life? Are you afraid that something might happen if you try to overcome that giant in your life? The second thing is this, does your giant defeat you on a regular basis? Are you being defeated by that giant in your life that you're thinking about right now? And that can be anything. Anything that has control of you and presents an obstacle to you. Thirdly, do you have control of this giant, or is this giant pretty much controlling you? And then lastly, I want to ask you this question right here. Do you want to conquer this giant? Do you want to overcome this giant? Do you want to be able to stand as David did, proudly having conquered that giant Goliath? Because guys, I'm telling you, you can do it. You can do it. And we're going to talk about that for the next few minutes. You can open your eyes up now and look up here. I know I'm not the prettiest thing, but if y'all will, just look up here a little bit. Amen. Guys, amen. Okay, y'all don't have to agree too much with that. Amen. But hey, guys, would it suffice to say we all have some kind of giant in our life? How many of you, when I ask you to recognize that giant, how many of you had something that came clearly to your mind? Raise your hand. I think pretty much everybody in this place has raised their hand here today. So that tells me that we have giants in our lives that we need to be conquering. Amen. We're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to parallel that a little bit out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look beginning with verse 40 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to read a few verses there. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. We're going to start with verse 40. It says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, I pray in the next few minutes you'll clear our minds of anything that Satan would try to distract us with. God, that we'll be focused on your word here today. Lord, that we'll leave this place feeling confident that we can overcome these giants in our lives. Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Let me just give you a little bit of background here. You all thought about that giant in your life. It could be anything. Anything that is that has you frightened, anything that has you feeling like you cannot overcome it, that it's just controlling you, that it's causing problems between you and God and you being able to serve God. Guys, we got to get rid of those giants. Amen. We got to get rid of them. And we're going to talk about that now, but let me give you a little bit of background here about David and Goliath for just a second without going too much off into that, because like I said, I really don't want to talk that much about the story. I want to parallel this with giants we face in our life. But David, as you well know, most of you know him better as King David, who probably was the greatest king of Israel that ever lived. But David certainly was not without blemish. David had a lot of problems. David had giants in his life that he had to overcome. Not just Goliath in a physical sense, but he had a lot of things he had to overcome. So here's this boy right now. Now, when this story takes place, David was but a boy. He was the youngest of eight children born to Jesse. And here he was. Most scholars estimate that David was probably between 12 to 15 years old. Just a young boy, really, in the eyes of the world. But he was sent over to check on his brothers by his father. He was sent to take some bread and some cheese over to the captain of the rank there that was in charge of the army that they were in. His three of his other brothers were already serving in the Israelite army. So he goes over there to check on them. Well, he gets over there and he's talking around. And first of all, his brothers obviously are jealous of him because they say, "What are you doing here? Why are you here again? Shouldn't you be over there tending those few sheep that you have?" Because that's what David did. He was a shepherd. And he took care of the flocks with his dad. But his dad sent him on a mission. So he comes over there. His brothers are like giving him a hard time. But here he goes and he starts talking to some of the other soldiers, because King Saul had made a deal with any of those soldiers that if they could kill this giant Philistine named Goliath, that he would give his daughter's hand in marriage to them, and he would free them and their entire family from having to pay taxes the rest of their lives. Now, that's a pretty good deal back in those days. But guess what? Nobody was taken. They said, I don't care. I'll pay taxes the rest of my life before I go face that giant. But here's David. He's listening to this. Now, keep in mind, he's somewhere between 12 to 15 years old. He's listening to this. And he's asking those people, who is this guy that keeps defying the name of God? And Goliath made a habit of, and I'm going to talk more about him in a minute. He made a habit of every day for 40 days, in the morning and in the evening, he came strutting across the boundary line, and he kept saying, he kept issuing a challenge. Hey, send me your best man. I'll even make a deal with you. If he can kill me, we'll be your slaves. If I kill him, you will be our slaves. Nobody was stepping up to the plate. David's like, who is this guy that dares curse us and curse the name of our God? Don't you wish you had that kind of strength? Here's a kid now. Who is this guy? I don't care if he's 9 feet tall. Let me tell you something else about David. David loved God. Amen. He loved God. He started serving God at a young age. You know how I know he was close to God? Because when Saul questioned him and he said, I'll go fight that Philistine. He said, you're but a mere child. You're a mere boy. How are you going to go and fight this man who's been training and fighting since he was a youth? He's like, well, I've got God on my side. Amen. He said, I got somebody on my side that he doesn't have on his side. And let me tell you a little bit else here, King Saul. Let me tell you something else. I have killed lions and I have killed bears with my bare hands. They went and they got one of our lambs. I chased them down. I got it out. I beat them with a club. Yeah, beat them with a club. Amen. Amen. I beat them with a club, and when they turned and pounced on me, I'd grab them by the beard or the mane and I'd beat them to death with it. Now, let me ask you something. I'm no genius, but I got enough sense to know this. Unless God is on your side, in your side, around your side, you ain't going to kill no lion or no bear when you're 12 years old. Amen? Amen. You ain't going to do it. So God was with him from an early age. God gave him the power and the confidence to kill wild animals. Do you think he was remotely scared of that Philistine over there flapping his gums? No. He wasn't scared of him. But that kind of sets the tone of what we're going to talk about this morning. Guys, I'm going to pick up with our notes right now. Guys, we have all faced giants in our lives. We've all faced giants in our lives, haven't we? They may have come in the form of illnesses, broken families and relationships, financial disasters, addictions, or even the deaths of our loved ones. We have faced giants in our lives. What if I told you today there's no giant too large in your life with Jesus by your side? How many of you would believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Say amen.
Amen.
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. Whoo, we're going to have a service up in here today. Amen.
Amen.
You know why? Because I get excited when I have an opportunity to talk about what God has done for me, what he can do for you, how he can help you overcome these giants in your life. All you got to do is trust him.
Amen.
You got to have that kind of faith. We serve a God who can move mountains, who can right all the wrong that's happened to you in your life. I know some of you have had wrong things that have happened to you in your lives. Life has not been fair to some of us. Life has not been fair to most everybody in this room right now. But guess what? It wasn't fair to Jesus either, was it? Jesus suffered. I've been in the book of 1 Peter for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Jesus suffered for us, and we ought to expect the same, amen? But we've got somebody we can turn to, just like David was telling King Saul, hey, I'm not scared of that guy. You know why? I've killed lions. I've killed bears because I serve a risen God. Amen? I serve a risen God. I serve the God of the universe, the author and creator of this world, and he will give me all I need to defeat this Philistine. Whoo, amen. I tell you what, I don't know, every time I read this story, whenever I feel like I'm facing an obstacle in my life, I go back and I read this story because it makes me stay focused. Guys, we simply must have the faith that that young boy had when he faced the greatest giant of all in his life. I want to ask you a question. Do you have the faith it takes to do that? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You will never defeat your giant if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ and his ability to work through you and around you to help you overcome that giant. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, you will not defeat your giant until you put your complete trust and faith in Jesus, who is far more powerful than we ever will be. Amen.
Amen.
We can't hold a candle to the power that he possesses. David knew that power. He understood that power. But guys, here's the way a lot of us are. Oh, we have faith when things are going good. But when those giants in our lives come up and get in our face, here's what we do a lot of times. Oh, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm just going to agree with them, because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble, or I can't face this because I don't have the right resources to face it. Guys, with God, you got all the resource you need. Amen.
Amen.
You got all the resources you need to conquer that giant. So don't make excuses. That's the problem. We make too many excuses about why we can't defeat those giants in our lives. David didn't make excuses. He didn't make any excuses. Are you willing to trust the author and creator of this universe with your giants? Are you willing to do that? Because I'm going to tell you what, guys, if you're trying to go into this battle by yourself, you will fail. You're not going to succeed. Because if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God is living in your heart, He is there to help you fight the battles you will face in your life. Amen. He is there to help you fight them. You can't leave Him over to the side and say, God, I got this. You just rest this one out here. I'll call on you in the second inning, okay? You can't do that. He's with you all the time. You can't separate away from Him. Now, you can walk away from Him, but He's not leaving you. Amen. How many of you glad that Jesus doesn't leave us even when we wander away from Him sometimes? Amen?
Amen.
You see, sometimes we wander away from Him, but guess what? He's right there behind us. He's right there with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm not leaving you. When you have called on me to be your Lord and Savior, I am with you the rest of your life. Isn't that comforting to know? I mean, if I didn't know that, if I didn't have that comfort, it would be hard for me to make it through some things I've gone through in my life. I couldn't do it. Guys, if you're willing to trust Jesus with your giants, I want you to listen for the next few minutes here to a story that might help change your life, or certainly your outlook when you are faced with adversity. When you're faced with that adversity. Now, what does adversity mean? Well, I had an idea what it meant, but I wanted to be doubly sure. I went and looked it up. It simply means difficulties and misfortune. Difficulties and misfortune. Adversity, those things that are difficult, that are misfortunate, or that are misfortunes that happen in our lives. Guys, this can be a lot of things that happen to us in our life. Why is it we fail in life so much? Guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can believe me if you want to. Or not. But if you are following God's plan for your life, you say, well, preacher, how do I know what that plan is? Just say, God, here I am. I'm willing to submit to whatever plan you have for my life. You take me and you lead me and you guide me where you want me to go.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. And God's going to enact His plan for you over time in a step-by-step sequence. Now, there are going to be bumps in the road along the way. You know why? God's got to make sure you got the faith it takes. But here's why we fail. It's very simple. We don't put God first in our life. It's a very simple answer to that. Why we as believers fail and fall on our face is because we do not have God in the right place in our life. We've got Him way down here at the bottom, but yet we're like, Lord, help me overcome this. I can't take this anymore. My family's terrible. My relationship's terrible. My job is killing me. My marriage is falling apart. Guys, don't you think God wants to help you in all those areas if you're a born-again believer? But He can't help you until you're willing to put Him first in your life. That's a very simple solution to that. You've got to put Him first. That's why we fail so many times. And guess what? You're going to keep failing at what you try to do if you're doing it in and of yourself. You will fail. Because if you're a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart, there's no room for failure. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
There's no room for failure in you if you're a born-again child of the King and the Holy Spirit of God is living in your heart. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't fail at some things. I said you're not going to be a complete failure at what you try to do if you're following God's plan for your life. We all have probably heard the story about David, how he became the greatest king of all time. But let me tell you something. He faced many obstacles in his life. Oh yeah. Murder, adultery. You know, those were just a couple of the things that he faced in his life. Those were giants in his life he had to overcome. But guess what? Even through that all, you know what God referred to him as? A man after my own heart. Is God saying that about you? Is he saying, hey, you're a man or a woman after my own heart? Or is he saying, man, I sure wish you'd step up to the plate. I'm giving you the strength you need. I'm giving you the opportunity you need. I'm giving you a way to kill and destroy and defeat your giant, but you're not listening to me. Is that what he's saying to you? Because guys, there is no giant you can't defeat if you put Jesus first in all that you do. Amen? You got to put him first in all that you do. He faced a lot of obstacles. I think David truly believed that whatever God called him to do, he could do it. Because he knew God was right there by his side. Do you feel closeness with Jesus? That's so great that no matter what he's calling you to do, you have the strength to get it done. Do you feel that closeness with Jesus? Or do you feel distant from him? Do you feel like, well, Lord, I can't find you. I want to do right and I want to serve you, but I can't find you. There's this obstacle in my way. I can't find my way to you. There is no obstacle that you can't overcome. With Jesus by your side, he's told you he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. We can't go throughout our lives thinking that we can make it on our own. You can't make it on your own without the Holy Spirit of God leading your life and directing your life. Amen. You can't make it. You think you can, but guess what? And some of you, this may be your story. I keep getting a little bit ahead and then I fall flat on my face again. I keep getting a little bit more in the right direction and then I fail and something sets me back again. Well, ask yourself a simple question. In this order of three, where is God? Family, everything else, and God. Where do you have God in those three selections? If he's not first, that's why you're failing. That's why you're going to continue to fail. Until you put him first, then you put your family next, then you put everything else after that, it's going to be failure in your life. Until you truly feel close to him, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Guys, our message today is, it begins with a disturbing turn of events here. And I'm going to be quick. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, here's the mighty army of Israel. Big, powerful army. God's behind them. These are God's chosen people, right? They've encountered an opponent that made them fear for their lives. A 9-foot-tall Philistine named Goliath. Now, I don't know about you. I'm 6'4". I'm pretty tall. But 9 feet, I'd be having to do this myself. Amen? That'd kind of intimidate me a little bit. That's 3 feet taller than I am. But guys, I'm going to tell you what. This Philistine, these were God's chosen warriors. And every day for 40 days, he came out and he taunted them. He cursed their God. He challenged them. He threatened them. And not one of them would step forward and defend the honor of God. Goliath was keeping the whole army of Israel at bay, shaking in their armor at the very sight of them. The Bible describes them as just shaking with fear whenever he would step toward them. And guys, let me tell you a little bit about Goliath. He was 9 feet tall, and he had a suit of armor that weighed 125 pounds, the Bible says. The spearhead on his spear weighed 15 pounds. He wasn't playing, amen. You wear that much stuff, and you got a spear that heavy, you're a big man. He was a man who struck fear in every Israeli or Israelite soldier on that battlefield. He was such an obstacle that King Saul offered a reward if anyone could kill him. No one even wanted to take that offer up. That is until this boy that was about 12 to 15 years old happened up onto that camp. He showed up one day. And David told King Saul, hey, I'll kill that giant because he has defied the armies of the living God. Whoo, that was a powerful testimony right there, amen. I'll kill him because he's not going to talk about my God that way. How many of us defend God that way in our daily lives? How many of us say, you're not going to talk about my God that way? I don't appreciate the way you're talking about my God. I'm going to live for him. I don't care if you choose not to. You see, David had it right. David had it right. Had it right. So he finally talked to Saul, and Saul convinced him, or he convinced Saul that he would fight that giant, and Saul finally agreed. Saul even gave him his armor in which to fight, but it was too awkward for David. He said, I can't wear this. I'm not used to this. So all that armor he set to the side. Instead, he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream as his weapon. 5 smooth stones as his weapon. So armed with only his staff, his shepherd's staff, his sling, and those 5 smooth stones, that boy started across that valley to meet Goliath with God on his side. How about that? You think God's on your side? How many of you believe God's on your side? Raise your hand. Okay, well, why are we scared? Why do we get scared when we face those giants in our lives? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. There's nobody that can be against us if God's for us. But yet we get scared. We get backed up in a corner. We start shaking with fear. Here comes this little boy with 5 smooth stones, a shepherd's staff, and a sling coming after this 9-foot-tall Philistine. Goliath replied, asking him, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? He cursed David. And he told him, he said, I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the animals of the field. I'm gonna kill you this day, in other words. You think that bothered David? This man already killed lions and bears. You think that bothered him? You're right, sister. Amen. She said, no. Amen. You're right. That didn't bother him. You know what David said? David told him, that's not how it's going to be. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David quickly replied, told the giant, he came in the name of the Lord, and that day the Lord would conquer him, and that he, meaning David, would kill him and cut off his head. Now, 12-year-old boy, maybe 15, probably about this tall, looking up to that 9-foot-tall Philistine, he said, let me tell you something, bruh. Amen. You get my lingo here. Let me tell you something, bruh. Here's how it's going to happen. You're not killing me. I'm fixing to kill you, and I'm going to cut your head off on top of it. Amen. What do you think that 9-foot-tall giant was doing at that point in time? Laughing his head off. Well, pardon the pun. It was fixing to come off in a minute. Laughing his head off. Who wouldn't? Right? He's probably saying, what's wrong with this child? This kid's got some sort of mental disorder here. He's coming at me and saying he's going to kill me and cut my head off. He also told him he would give the dead bodies of his men to the birds and the wild animals, and that the whole world would know there is a God in Israel. Amen. How many of you believe there's a God right here in Union Point, Georgia? Say amen. Amen. And we serve him. We got to call on his name. Don't be fearful when you're faced with a giant. You call on the name of Jesus, amen. You call on his name. He'll give you the strength you need. Well, Goliath moved closer to David. Here comes this big giant trugging it across there with all that armor on. Now, what would be the normal response of probably a 12 or 15-year-old? He's growling and cursing and walking toward you. Most likely, most 12 or 15-year-olds, even if they could muster up the courage, they would then say, uh-oh, this guy's coming after me. Shoo, I'm going to turn, I'm going to run. Right? No. Instead of David waiting there shaking in fear, the Bible says he ran out to meet him. He ran to face his giant head on. Guys, that's the only way you're going to defeat the giants in your life. You've got to run and you've got to meet them. Yeah. You got to run and you got to meet him. Amen. You can't sit back. Guess what? If you sit back, that giant's going to run over you, amen. But you come running in the name of Jesus and you're going to conquer him, amen. You're going to conquer him. That's what David did. I can see him right now. Come on, if you want to. I'm coming after you. Because I done told you I'm fixing to cut your head off. Ha ha! What do you think about that? I'm coming after you. So he ran toward him. And while he was running to meet him, he took out a stone in that bag, had it in that sling. He was swinging it around and whoo, boom, hit him right in the middle of his big old fat forehead. Amen. He had to have a big forehead if he was 9 feet tall. Amen. That's a pretty easy target, wasn't it? So he hit him with that rock. And the stone sank in his forehead and it knocked Goliath down on the ground. Then David walked up and, to add insult to injury, took his sword out, killed him, and cut his head off with it. Amen. That's the only time I'll say amen for somebody getting their head cut off. Amen. So he did those things. Hey, guess what? He told him that's what was going to happen, right? Are you telling that giant in your life, I'm going to defeat you? Or are you sitting back saying, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do now. Ooh, this isn't working like I thought it would. Guys, it ain't never going to work like you think it will. That's why you got to quit thinking. You got to let God think, amen. You got to quit trying to do all the thinking yourself and turn it over and put it in God's hands and say, God, I'm having trouble with this giant in my life. I need you to deliver me. And guess what? He's going to do it. Once their champion had been killed, this champion Philistine, once he had been killed, they turned and ran for their lives. Now here's the Philistines now. Uh-oh, Goliath's dead. Shoo! They took off and ran, and all of a sudden the Israelite soldiers, they got a sudden boost of confidence. They're like, oh yeah, we can go defeat them now. They took off after them. The Bible tells us that the bodies of the Philistines were strewn all over the road from Sharaim as far as Gath and Ekron. In other words, a long distance, guys. On this day, it took the faith of a boy. It took the faith of a boy to show the world that we serve a God who can defeat any obstacle we can face in life. Amen. We can defeat them. What are the giants you're faced with right now? When I asked you to close your eyes a minute ago, I want you to bring back that giant to your mind right now. And I want you to tell that giant, I will defeat you. Say it out loud. I will defeat you. Say it. I will defeat you. Okay. Hey, if you said it and you meant it, let's defeat them. Amen. Let's don't let them have control of us any longer. Guys, with God with you and in you and around you, you can defeat any giant you face in life. You can defeat them. You can defeat any obstacle that we can face in life. What are the giants you're facing right now? Have you conquered them by running to meet them face to face? Are you meeting them face to face? Or are you sitting back going, I don't think it's the right time to deal with that right now. I might get in trouble. I should not deal with that giant right now. Or are you running to meet that giant? Because guys, I'm going to tell you what. If you're running away from that giant, you're never going to defeat that giant. Amen. Anytime there's a battle in life, something has to be sacrificed in order to gain victory, right? You're going to have to let go of your pride. You're going to have to let go of your fear. You're going to have to sacrifice those things in order to defeat those giants in your life. But you can do it. How many of you believe you can conquer that giant that you're thinking about in your life? Raise your hand. You can conquer them. Don't let them overwhelm you. Don't let them control you. Because guys, that's exactly what the devil wants, isn't it? You know what the devil wants for you all and me? He wants us to let these giants continually smash us in the ground. And for us to crawl up in our little ball and sit there and shiver and shake and, oh, it's never going to get any better. I'm not going to be able to survive. Guys, I want to encourage you to be strong. Be bold. Be so full of the Holy Spirit that you will not let anything in this life overpower you. Amen. Don't let anything overpower you. We got people in this room right now that have already conquered giants in their lives. How did they do it? They didn't do it by turning and running the other way. They turned and ran toward that giant in their life. And they said, God, if you are with me, I will defeat this giant. Amen. And they did. Amen. And I'm proud of them for it. But there's some of you right now that are still running away from your giant. You're still running away from your giant or giants. Guys, you got to quit running. You got to quit running. You have got to face your giant head on. And you got to have the kind of courage that David had. You know where he got that courage? He didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I can go kill a lion. Let me go do it. That's not how it happened. You know how it happened? He trusted God. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. He put God first in his life. That's how he was able to go out and kill a 9-foot-tall Philistine. That's how he was able to go out and kill a lion or a bear. Guys, you can kill those lions and those bears in your life just like David did. Amen. I'm pulling for you. I'm rooting for you. But I can't do it for you. Amen. Hey, I'm going to give you all the support I can. I'm going to give you all the prayers I can. But you're the one that's got to go win the battle. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Get excited in God's house today. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the battle's yours to win. Guess what? Jesus has already paid the price. Now the battle is yours to win. So go win it. I'm like a coach right now. Woo! Go get them, boys. Amen. Hey, I'm about ready to have a cheer for God right now, okay?
Amen.
But guys, hey, go get them. Go fight them. Don't let them defeat you. Because I can tell you this. If you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile in your life. And when he keeps taking more inches and more miles away from your life and he keeps turning you away from the very thing God wants you to face up to, then you're going to continue to feel like you're not accomplishing anything. You're going to continue to feel like you're failing in life. And there's no reason for that. Guys, I want you to be successful. I want you to be in God's will. The only way that's going to happen is you've got to put him first. Amen. I believe some of us need to, in this new year, really commit ourselves to putting God first in our life. And if we do that, there is no giant that you can't conquer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I don't care what giants you put in my path, God. With you at my side, I'm going to face them. And God, I'm going to battle them and I'm going to defeat them. It may not be an instant defeat, but Lord, with you on my side, I know I'm not going to fail. God, I'm going to give you the praise for that. I just pray if there's anybody in this house today, Lord, that is struggling with a giant in their life, that they'll come up here to this altar and they'll get in this altar and they'll say, God, I want to defeat this giant in my life. You follow with me. Let me know you're there. Let me feel your presence, God, and I'm going to be bold enough to do it. And there may be someone in this crowd today, Lord, that needs to accept you as their Savior. I pray they'll come and do that, Lord. As Della shared with us about Dan. Dan thought he was saved. Dan's basically 30 years old. Finally realized, you know what? I don't think I am, but now I am. Amen. Now I'm saved. Guys, I believe there's some people out here that fit that same category. Don't keep waiting. If you know that it's not real in your life, come and make it real. And God, as always, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? 5:30. Let's stand and sing hymn number 5:30. As always, the altar is open. Come and join us up here and pray.